Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Horror versus Reality. If my greeting didn't just give it away, we're doing a Thai film today. Morgan, how are you?
I'm good. Or as in Thailand, they say Swadika, I think.
Very fine, thank you, I think. Is
something like that.
fun fact, my stepdad was stationed in Thailand during Vietnam, so...
Oh, that's kind of cool. Not the whole Vietnam thing, but like that he got stationed
No, he was in the Air Force on a desk job, more or less, over there. He didn't see action.
Nice.
It actually was a pretty sweet deal, smoking Thai stick over in Thailand, not seeing action. That's the way to spend your Vietnam.
Yeah, that's way better than a lot of the majority of people that went to that
because
war.
Because he joined the Air Force, he had a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, my hippie uncle was like, I'm going to join the Navy. And then they're like, we're going to deploy the Navy to Vietnam. But then when they got to Vietnam, to whatever bay it was, they ended up blowing, like the Viet Cong ended up like blowing up the docks and taking over the area. So all they did was float around in the bay for like 9 months. And that's all he did. They never got to port because they were supposed to go to battle, but they never got to port. It was too dangerous. Yeah.
Oh, man. Man.
Both,
well, that's...
It's they both lucked up.
They lucked up really well, both.
Yeah.
I think my dad was a little too young for Vietnam. When did Vietnam end?
72? 70.
Yeah, my dad was too young to be in Vietnam. My dad is like 7 years younger, no, 6 years younger than my stepdad, something like that.
Oh, 75 is when it ended.
Oh, okay. Well, my dad could have been in the very tail end of it. Yeah, he was in the Navy when he was 18. But yeah, anyway, I digress. We digress.
Yes.
Today's episode is Ziwi. Is that how we're pronouncing it? Ziwi? Like that's Ziwi. It rhymes with kiwi.
Yeah. Cause,
like that's their bastardization of his actual name, though.
Yeah, I think it's Siwi. Ziwi.
I thought it was Siwe. Was the way you're supposed to be pronounced, but they call it Ziwi.
I thought it was Siwe, but then I was listening to some Thai lady talk about Siwe.
Right.
And all I could understand was Siwee. I guess she was telling a ghost story or something. And the only words I could pick out was Siwee.
Yeah, but again, that would be the Thai bastardization of his actual name, which is Chinese.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so I think it's pronounced Siwee, and they're just pronouncing it that way because they're racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's happening there. If you are a fan that speaks Mandarin or Thai or knows anything about this, write in. Let us know. Because we don't know exactly. We are doing the best we can with what we could find. There wasn't a lot on this film, or there wasn't really even that much on the case.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
There's a lot of like lore to it.
Yeah, lore to it, and then there's doubt that he was even the one that was the killer.
Yes.
And there's also not a lot known about his life in China pre-Thailand. Yeah,
it's just a lot of it's like speculation and folklore.
You only got so much out of him, and then he barely even spoke Thai. So
yeah, he used a translator. So it's everything that the translator said. Because
the
translator
could have just sold him under the bus.
He really could have. Because I don't even think they recorded what he said.
To my knowledge, they didn't. So we'll get into whether or not this man's a criminal or not later on. But for right now, we are just going to focus on the way the film portrays him, which is actually in a really sympathetic light. And we'll just focus on the way the movie went. Okay.
I'm ready.
Yes. Okay, so So the directors are Bernie Ratchaiban.
We're butchering all these names.
We're trying our best, guys. We are, and ladies and everyone. We are trying our best to make out these words. We don't speak Thai. I was only mildly around Thai culture as a kid from my stepdad and the Thai restaurant that we went to all the time. So we're doing our best. Okay, but so Bernie Ratchaiban is a Thai director known for Ziwi, as well as being an assistant director on the 1984 film The Killing Fields. Which is, so, you know, that's not a big credit, but that is a more knowable credit for us, you know?
Yeah.
Nita Suthrat Na Ayutthaya is the other director, and she is only known for this movie. And they passed away in 2013, so that's all I know about her from IMDb. There was just not a ton on those directors. It stars Duan Yi Hung as Ziwi. He's a Chinese actor best known for his role as Yan Lang in Soldier Sortie, 2006. Long Wings Hung in My Chief and the Regiment from 2009. And Hai Wa in White Deer Plain from 2011. Duan is married to Chinese-Japanese actress Wang Jin. The actress who plays Dara, the journalist, is Premsini Ratanasva. She is best known here in the States for the 2000 Nicolas Cage film Bangkok Dangerous. Do you remember that movie?
I did not see that.
I didn't either, but I'm sure you've heard of it, though.
Yeah, but I didn't see it. Is it bad?
It's not great. It's definitely one of those ones that you list off in the laundry list of bad Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Mandy. You feel me? It's not Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas is one of the most depressing movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is.
It's just Nicolas Cage drinking himself to death in a hotel room.
I know. It's... I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's such an alcoholic. Like, so bad.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
Slowly. Ziwi is her only other film credit, so take with that what you will. I don't know if she just, like, quit acting or what. Chachai Pling Panich as Sant, Dara's boss. Santi. Dara's boss. He's a popular Thai film and television actor known for starring in many Lackhorns. Now, those are Thai soap operas. So he met his wife, Sinjai, on the set of a film where they were both starring in lead roles. and they eventually got married about like 10 years later. They have three sons named Gun, Dom, and Bomb.
Gun, Dom, and Bomb?
Yeah, G-U-N, D-O-M, and B-O-M.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Not like Bomb, Kaboom.
Yeah. It's like Gun and Bomb. Damn.
Violence. No. Also, Thai name, so it doesn't translate to English stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
So, yeah. Obviously, there are more actors in the film than those three, but those are kind of the main ones that you spend any real time with in the film. And like I said, there wasn't a lot of information on the ones that I gave you about. So, like, this is all I could do. But yeah, let's get into the film. So, Ziwi, the titular character, is a recent Chinese immigrant to Thailand, having had a brutal experience fighting the Japanese during World War II, he made the journey to Thailand in hopes of a clean start. He arrives as a stowaway by way of boat, ready to begin his new life. After being renamed Ziwi by a border guard who just refuses to recognize his Chinese name, seriously, the racism towards Chinese people in this film is palpable.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, he sets off to find work and a shelter so he may begin his new life. His first job is slaughtering chickens for a wealthy butcher. Does the chicken die? Yes. After being repeatedly teased and bullied by the family, particularly the two young daughters who delight in belittling and playing jokes on him, Ziwi robs the matriarch of the family and flees. For a time, he becomes a nomadic vagrant, and from here on out, his life goes downhill drastically. Terrible living conditions and backbreaking labor causes Ziwi's childhood asthma to flare up, snowballing into tuberculosis. His humiliation continues with escalating discrimination towards him, as he is not only Chinese, they refer to him as a Chinese slur, which I won't repeat, but it rhymes with the word ink.
Okay.
Is that all just clicking with you now?
Yes, because it was, they were saying it, but the translation or whatever, they were calling him a woman.
Yeah, that's what they were actually calling him.
Okay, because I could hear it, and I was like, shit.
Yeah,
but on the thing they're calling him girl or chick.
Probably because the translators were like, I'm not gonna put that in there.
Yeah, okay. Because yeah. I kept hearing that and I was like, man, no, I felt so bad for him.
I mean, the actor who plays him plays the role so sympathetically that you can't watch this film and not feel sorry for him.
I know.
You really can't. And even when he's killing children, you can't not feel sorry for him.
No,
it's crazy.
Oh, May. Poor May.
Yeah. But yeah, they also make fun of him and discriminate towards him because he's so sick now. One scene in particular really stands out. Ziwi has taken what little money he has to get herbs from the apothecary for his cough. Upon leaving with said herbs in hand, they are wrapped in rather flimsy paper, and some assholes decide to play keep away with his medicine and manage to drop it into a mud puddle in the road, rendering it useless.
Yeah, then when he, like, goes to grab it, he shoves it further into the mud hole. I was like, man!
And then he has this look of utter anguish and defeat on his face.
He as looks if to so say, fucking sad.
Yeah, as if to say, how can the world be so cruel?
I know, I just wanted to give him a hug all covered in mud. Like, you're okay, here's an inhaler.
Yeah, man, like, you feel really, really sorry for him the whole film.
I know, he even is like, I only have this much bot. And the guy's like, okay, you really need it. And then... immediately.
Yeah, he doesn't even have enough money for it, but the guy's like, you look like you're gonna die.
Yeah, like, you really need this.
So here, yeah, it's terrible. I mean, his living conditions are just squalor.
Yeah.
So, a turning point occurs When having a nightmare related to his time in the war, Ziwi awakens to discover that he has mistakenly killed his boss's young daughter, who was standing next to his bed. She was kind to him earlier in the film. She brings him tea and a flower, which he holds dear and later cries when it's destroyed by bullies. Yeah, it's a little, kind of a sweet, like, very melancholy scene. But yeah, so he just strangled her, not meaning to, but you know, she was there and he was strangling someone in the war. But yeah, so she's dead and now he's like, fuck. Accelerated by guilt and a profound need for relief from his incessant coughing, he suffers a complete mental break in this moment and begins to kill small children for their organs, specifically the heart and livers. He begins butchering children because he believes making a tea from their hearts will ease his illness.
Sweetness. I need more sweetness in my life.
I know.
Baby hearts.
Oh, yes. He comes to this conclusion by remembering eating the organs of the dead for strength during the war, as well as old wives' tales from his mother. The B-plot of this film sort of surrounds a woman, female journalist, looking into the child murders, who has also suffered a loss of a young loved one herself. She's actually seen giving Ziwi medicine for his illness at one, well, money for his, for medicine for his illness at one point, not knowing that he is the very killer that she's looking for. Eventually, she and the detectives catch Ziwi in the act of trying to catch a little boy, and he collapses, whimpering in defeat. Throughout the film, Ziwi, as we've said, he's portrayed in a very sympathetic light, most likely due to the fact that a lot of people are not convinced that the real Ziwi even committed these murders. He never received fair treatment from the Thai police and reportedly didn't even really speak Thai. He had to use an interpreter throughout his trial, but like we were talking earlier, Morgan will get into that in a minute. Yeah. So that's kind of all I got on that. So what do you think of this movie, Morgan, besides what you've already told me?
I did not really like it. I thought, like you said, they're very sympathetic to this guy, which makes a weird plot line. Like, you know, like you feel sad for him and everything. And it's, I guess it's just this downward spiral and this other plot line about the girl trying to find her sister's murder, like when she was a child. And then the other subplot of his mom and all the flashbacks and everything. There was a lot going on, I thought.
There was a lot going on, and yet the story was still pretty simple.
Yeah.
Easy to follow.
Yeah, it was pretty easy to follow. I just didn't like it.
No, it was tremendously boring, despite the fact that you really felt for the character. But it suffers pacing issues, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a hardcore drama.
Yeah, I mean, it is classified as a thriller. Because there are moments that are horrifying, such as seeing small children with their guts hanging out.
Yeah, I guess.
Which is a true horror element. But aside from those moments and some, like, real points where you're on edge for the main character, it's more of a suspenseful drama, but...
Yeah.
There are horrific moments that push it over the edge for sure. And make it fine to talk about on our podcast. Most importantly, the guts keep it real.
Yeah, there's a lot of like random shots of guts.
Yeah. Gruesome. And he likes gruesome pictures.
Like with the first kid, May. That was so sad. I know,
but she was so sweet.
I know, she was so sweet, and he was just, like, hallucinating. Like,
yeah, and her dad beat her, too.
Yeah. And she was, like, the sweetest little girl and gave him a flower and everything and tea.
Bringing everyone tea and giving him a little flower. It was very sweet, and it was sad that she was the first one to go.
Yeah, he ended up like brutally murdering everybody else. It didn't really show everything that he did to her, I guess, because he's covered in blood, but you only see him choking her.
So he chokes her, and then he freaks out, and then he's like, better take her heart and run.
Yeah, I know. I forgot he did take her heart after.
Yeah, better take her heart and run.
He's like, no, why did I do this? Oh, well, I'm going to eat her heart.
I mean, she's already dead. I might as well take her heart and make some tea.
Yeah, I'm not going to let it go to waste.
Yeah, I mean, what sucks, though, is the tea that he makes. It's not like he drinks the tea once and then magically he's cured. It just gives him minor relief for, like, a couple of days. And then he has to go kill another kid.
It's like, why don't you just go to the store and get an inhaler?
Well, he has tuberculosis. An inhaler's not going to help that much. And also, he has TB.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His asthma spirals into TB. He's full on got the consumption.
Oh, what? How did I miss that? I just thought it was so boring. Sometimes I wasn't looking at the words.
Probably
missed that part.
And I mean, also, they might not even explicitly say it, but that is what happened to the real Ziwi. So you have to assume it's the same thing. And he is coughing up blood and shit.
Oh.
Do you not remember the scene where he coughs into a hanky and he literally coughs up blood?
I thought he was coughing up the chunks that he had tried to eat.
No, he was coughing.
Because it looked a lot like the organs that he was eating.
Yeah, no, he was just coughing up blood.
Oh. I didn't know he had tuberculosis either. Because there's so many different articles and stuff out there about this guy.
I listened to a podcast from Singapore by two girls that are Thai talking about it, and I'm using them as a source. So,
oh shit! Well, you should have gave me that source. that would have been really nice.
I'm sorry, Morgan. It was only a little 30-second blurb. It didn't have a lot of details. That's okay. I honestly didn't know that wasn't everywhere.
No.
Because I researched the other half, remember?
Yeah, there's like nothing about anything about him having tuberculosis.
Hmm.
That I saw, but.
Okay, well. That's what I read. And heard.
Well, so
guys, if you know anything about this, let us know if he had TB or not.
Yeah, did he or did he not have tuberculosis? That's the real big question here.
I'm almost certain, by the way it's portrayed in the film, that the film character does at least.
Yeah. Yeah, he was coughing
up blood is pretty serious, and he looked like he was dying half the time.
Yeah, he did look like he was dying. I thought he had like lung cancer or something.
I mean that's an option, but given the time period, like the '40s, late '40s. And, like, rural Thailand?
Yeah.
It could very well be TV.
Yeah.
And that is what makes the most sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Yeah. Everybody was, like, cramped living. No, he was in the army, too, so, I mean, it would make a lot of sense. But there was... okay. So, this whole story, took place in the 50s, and this story is like alive today in Thailand. And like we said, he's kind of like the boogeyman of Thailand. So when like mothers are telling their children to come back home, you know, like when the lights come on, the street lights come on, you better come home. They say you better come home or Siwi's going to eat your liver. And so kids are like terrified about Siwi. I guess not so much anymore since around this time when this movie was made, and in the most recent years of 2020. I'll get into that in a minute, but
yeah,
there's not much known of him. He was born in China, and he was a Chinese immigrant. His actual name was Huang Liwei, but I guess a lot of similarities to the movie, they mispronounce his name on purpose, most likely. He came over to Thailand, I think, in like the early 50s, because he was working in this small village outside of Bangkok. Do what?
I thought it was the late 40s.
Was it the late 40s?
I think so.
It was late, it was late 40s, early 50s, because it was when, it was after the Second
World War.
Well, it was the Sino-China War to them.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
And where he was in the war, they said he was, he came, I think, in like 1948 or something. But the Second Sino-Japanese War, that ended in 45. So around that time is when he came over to Thailand to find a better life. Because then in China, it was war-torn. There wasn't many jobs. And he thought he could get a better life living in Thailand. But around this time, Chinese immigrants were looked down on because the sentiment from Thailand, they had been allies with the Japanese, and there was a lot of integrated racism and societal racism. Like at the very beginning in the movie, when he comes over to Thailand, they shave his head.
Sad.
I know, it was really sad. I think it was supposed to be like a de-lousing.
I was thinking that, but then there were two people in their head in there that didn't have their head shaved at all. You would think they'd shave the whole lot of them.
Well, the women had the head wraps. I don't know if you noticed that.
I noticed that a couple of women had head wraps, but there was one person out there who just had a mop of hair.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a de-lousing thing, but also whenever they came over, they were supposed to assimilate, like, immediately. All of their possessions were taken away. I looked into the history of it, it was pretty fucking sad. So he did go through a rough time coming over.
Yeah.
So he had to change his name. They shaved his head. They pretty much gave him a new identity. They took all of his possessions away, and they were just treated like second-class citizens or like the scum of the earth around that time. But it was around that time when he started taking like menial jobs. They said he was considered stateless after his death, but I can't remember the name of the town. There's like several sources that say different towns,
yeah.
But where he lived, was a small community, and he was actually a gardener, a farmer. And this community actually.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
He is now speaking out saying he was innocent. Like, what is it, 60 years later? But around this time, he was working the menial jobs, and around 1958, he was caught, supposedly caught by police officers trying to burn a boy's body. So Nawa was the boy's father. Samboon was a child who his father sent him to go get vegetables, and then when he didn't come back, they witnessed him burning a pile of brush, and that's where the body was under. They immediately arrested him, and they say that he was interrogated, was given a translator, but immediately started to confess to killing Samboon. And he also confessed to ripping out his intestines and eating his liver. So, and then after that, he started admitting to murdering 5 other children. And 4 of those kids, he also says he ate their organs. And he said one girl was too small, so he ate her heart instead. And I think that was supposed to be May. Because everybody else ate the liver and kidney.
Right. Can I pause you for a moment?
Yes.
I could not study this case and investigate this case without thinking about Hannibal Lecter. Like, every time I read about him eating livers, I'm like, I ate his liver with fava beans. Nice Chianti.
Chianti. Yeah, that's, I mean, it definitely did.
Right? How can you not? Sorry, I had to interject that.
But yeah, like, he actually ate more organs, I guess, than Hannibal Lecter did.
True. It sounds like he was way more into the organ meat.
Yeah, because one person he said, no, he said she was too small, he couldn't eat her heart, so he ate her gullet instead.
Ugh! That's repulsive.
I thought chickens just had gullets. Do we really have a gullet? What the fuck is a gullet? That's not enough. I thought chickens had gullets. I guess that's your throat, and he just ate her throat?
I refer to my esophagus as a gullet all the time, jokingly.
Yeah, it's the esophagus, right? But yeah. I thought it was the chicken's esophagus.
It could be, it's a broad term. You could just call
okay.
You could definitely call a human's a gullet, for sure.
Yeah, we didn't learn gullet in human anatomy class, so.
That is not what they put on the test.
I'm like, oh yeah, the gullet and the funny bones over here.
So
there was a lot of talk about him just admitting to all of these murders all over the country. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of crazy for a 37-year-old poor migrant farmer from southern China. Which would be almost impossible, especially that he doesn't know the language. But anyway, he was given a translator, and the only records that were kept of his confession were from the translator. So there's no really records of him saying much of anything. It's all pictures and this translator speaking for him. He was nicknamed the murderous cannibal. A lot of people were terrified of him, and were thinking that he would come back. Thai are very into spirits.
Yes.
That's why this story is so terrifying to young children and to people, I guess, that know of the story, that are Thai. So there's like spirit graveyards and a lot of Thai ghosts that people believe in and just try to stay away from. So his trial only lasted 9 days. His trial opened on March 25th, and he confessed to every count of murder, and he discussed his exploits in court. According to some newspapers and stories and stuff that I'd found, they said he enjoyed eating, he enjoyed eating the organs. And there was one person who said that they saw him taking, their sister. It was one of the witnesses. They said that they saw him leading their sister away from a Chinese New Year fair in Bangkok. And that was in 1954. And then her body was found dumped near railroad tracks later. That was the only person that connected him to any other murders. But there was a survivor who her throat was slit. But someone... there were some reports that he tried to bite her throat out and she survived.
Yeah.
But there's another story that he actually slit her throat but missed the major artery and she was able to escape. So I have no idea. There's a lot of different scary parts to this story. Just wherever you look is the source. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been going on forever. Like, you know, to tell your children not to go outside alone.
I mean, that's honestly just good advice.
There was the girl who said that she like escaped. There was a charge of attempted murder against him, but she was like, no, that's not him. I don't know who he is. But also I don't know about anybody else that testified during this court because supposedly, the villagers never believed that he was guilty.
Yeah.
Except for the police and the father of the boy that they said they caught him burning. Which I'm not sure where that part falls in. Maybe he killed that boy and then burned his body. I don't know. But apparently the police and the dad saw it. But none of the villagers...
they witnessed him doing that.
Yeah, that's just weird to me.
Yeah. Like,
witness that happening in broad daylight.
You witness that, but then most of the village believes you're innocent.
Yeah. Like a major majority of the village believes that he's innocent. And they were trying to get the courts to cremate his body. Because
they did get that to happen eventually.
They did. But ever since he was like, you know, said he was guilty, these people were like, no, he's innocent from the 50s. Yeah. So, and some of those people are dead now. So it's actually the children and grandchildren of these people who have been fighting for him for the past, like, you know, forever. But
can we
after...
talk about his, I'm sorry, go ahead.
After his, trial only lasted 9 days. They sentenced him to life because he pled guilty, but then the prosecutors immediately appealed the verdict, and then they said that confession should not apply because the evidence would have been enough to convict him. So they returned the verdict, and then the appeals court agreed to sentence Siwee to die by firing squad. Apparently, rumor says he fainted in the courtroom and he was only brought back after a policeman gave him a cigarette.
Yes, I remember.
So he was sentenced to prison. He went to Bangkok, capital, and he stayed there only for a few months. I think maybe a year.
Yeah.
And he died by firing squad on September 17th, 1959.
It's lucky for him because, especially back then, the Thai were very hang happy.
Yeah, I don't know if you see where the bullets were. I think they all shot at once, which would have been okay.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess I would rather go out by shooting like a firing squad than hanging. Well, I don't know.
The hangman forever holds the guilt of killing you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whereas firing squad takes the guilt off because no one knows whose bullet killed them.
Well, three hit him.
Yes.
Three hit him in the chest. I think one hit him directly in the heart. One looked like it hit his sternum, and the other one looked like it hit, like, his liver or something. Because you can see the bullet holes.
Yeah, but we'll never know who did what.
Yeah, no, they won't. But the reason why we could see where the bullet holes were, because after he was sentenced to death and shot by a firing squad, one of Bangkok's hospitals, like main hospital, decided to keep his body, and one of the researchers wanted his brain to study it. So they actually kept his body and mummified it with wax and formaldehyde and had it on display until last year.
Yeah.
So, and apparently this, like, museum, I really want to go to it. It's like the Thai version of the Mutter Museum in Philly.
Yes.
So you can see, like, all the oddities of the medical world from, like, the 1800s until, like, now. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, you know, fetuses in jars. There's giant testicles from people with elephantitis. There's, like, conjoined twins and stuff like that. There's even, like, whole bodies of victims from, like, blunt force trauma and stuff that are mummified, or their skeletons are on display. But it's called the Siriage Medical Museum. It's also nicknamed the Museum of Death, and it's in Bangkok, Thailand. But it wasn't until 2020 when the courts decided to give the body to a Buddhist monastery, I think. Some kind of church. I don't know if it's Buddhist or not.
Right.
But they were able to cremate him. And a lot of the villagers want his ashes. But his ashes are actually stored in this... I'm trying to find it. I had it pulled up. I can't really type because I had surgery, so it really hurts. So I had to leave all my windows up with notes.
It's okay. We understand more.
Let's see. Do you have it where his body is now? Or?
I knew that he got cremated, but I didn't know where they kept his ashes.
Yeah, so they decided not to give it to the villagers because they said that they may, like, go missing or something. So they put it into this like cathedral thing or something, so they could keep watch on it, because apparently they have like 50 cameras. I don't know. In one of the articles I read, they're like 40 CCTV cameras, nobody will get away with ashes. Was like, dude, I don't know.
I didn't realize that his ashes were as coveted as the crown jewels.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so there was a lot of people that have been trying to get this conviction overturned for years. But also, the museum didn't want to give up his body because that was, like, right when you walk in the museum. Yeah. His body's right there, right when you walked in the museum. I mean, now it's not, but...
We'll post pictures on our Instagram.
Yeah, that was the big, you know, the thing that people wanted to see.
Yeah.
Was the Thai cannibal. The Chinese cannibal. So, yeah. So, it's not really certain, you know, because there was a lot of racism back then.
And since he's dead and a lot of the people from the case are dead, we may never really know what happened.
Yeah, a lot of the family and the children and everything of the villagers, like, say that, no, he's innocent. He was a good guy. And he was just a scapegoat because of the racism and the fears of Chinese immigrants that the Thai people had then.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if that was true.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to put, you know, they wanted to say, hey, yeah, we caught this killer. And then they connected him to five other murders.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense a lot. Like, if there was a timeline to look at, maybe you could see, like, oh, yeah, he was living right there. But there's none of that. They just put it on him.
Yeah.
There's no timeline or evidence of, like, where he was then. They said he was, like, homeless and was just working on jobs here and there and was killing on the side, but who knows?
Yeah. There's a line from the end of the movie that the journalist says that's along the lines of, I'm not sure if he's a murderer or a victim.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Okay, so Morgan, where is this museum that you were talking about? I mean, where are his remains?
Okay. Okay, so I found it on the Bangkok Post. So according to them, on July 23rd, 2020, the body of notorious serial killer Sie Wee was cremated in Nonthaburi yesterday after 6 decades of being on public display at a museum in Bangkok. So he was created at the Wat Bang Prek Thai. Probably butchered that. Near the Bangkwang prison in Nonthaburi. Mm-hmm. So they decided, the corrections department decided that he would not be kept at the temple where the cremation ceremony was held, and it will not be kept in the village where he lived and worked before he was arrested. So they said he also didn't have any relatives that they know of, so they're not really sure what's going to happen to them. One of the police officers said he feared if the ashes were taken to the Tapsake district, a shrine would be built and people would go there to worship. And he doesn't think it's right that a convicted serial killer, people should worship him.
Right.
So it's kind of in the air. I haven't seen any other, like, recent updates on it. But there were a lot of people that were interviewed and they said, we don't believe that Sie Wee did it. And we want the cremation today to mark the end of the story of Sie Wee. And they said maybe if DNA testing was advanced as it was, you know, as it is now, like back then they would definitely be able to prove that he did it or was just a scapegoat.
We have flying cars by now if everything wasn't that advanced back then.
Yeah. but there were actually villagers who traveled to Bangkok for the ceremony. And they said that he was hired as a laborer in on their family farm. And all of their relatives really loved him and never thought that he did it.
Aww.
Yeah, so they ended up going to the ceremony. So, I mean, who knows? We won't know.
Yeah, we won't. So, I guess that kind of closes the chapter on this, eh?
Yeah.
So, Morgan, I know you've been laid up from your surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So, what have you been doing to entertain yourself?
Watching trash TV.
Ooh, what kind of trash? Do tell.
So, have you seen 60 Days In?
No. Oh, wait, is that like in a jail thing?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. But it's a docuseries on right. A&E. Mm-hmm. And it's called, internationally, it's called The Jail 60 Days In. But in the U.S., it's known as 60 Days In. You can get it on Hulu, or if you have the A&E app, you can get it on there. Or the Discovery app, they have A&E shit on there. Hulu is better because there's no commercial breaks.
Yeah,
so we've been... I have just been, like, vegging out to this. It's so silly. So the premise is... I'm only on season two right now, but it took place in the Clark County Jail in Indiana. I think the other ones are like Atlanta and Arizona, but I haven't gotten that far yet.
Any famous criminals in these jails?
Actually, on the first season, Muhammad Ali's daughter was one of the contestants or the participants.
Hold on, wait a minute. Yeah. Muhammad Ali's daughter's in jail?
No, she went to jail to see how it was. So, sorry, premise.
Okay.
The premise is these volunteers go undercover to spend 60 days in the Clark County Jail as inmates. And the only people... only people that know it is, like, one sheriff, one deputy, and, like, two other people. So
but
it's
that's,
like,
hold on, but that's silly. You're gonna tell me that some people in jail didn't nobody recognized Layla Ali?
No, it wasn't Layla Ali.
Oh,
it was
Mei
Mei.
Not the famous one.
No, it wasn't the famous one. This one's a social worker.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, no, it wasn't the really famous one. I mean, this one, I guess, she's sort of famous. She's in pictures with him, but she's not like out there.
You'd have to be a hardcore Muhammad Ali fan to recognize her.
Yeah, she looks exactly like Muhammad Ali, though. but yeah, it's pretty wild. There's like this one guy on the show on the first season. His name was Robert. I fucking hate him. I hate him. I don't know who he is, but apparently he's been on other reality TV shows. But Robert Holcomb, if you're listening, you're a fucking douchebag. Yeah. Oh, God. I wanted to, like, come through the TV and just choke him out because he's just so annoying and he's such a liar. And I can't believe that he's a teacher, because if he was my teacher, I'd probably go to jail for murder. This dude is unbelievable. I'm like, is this guy real? Like, that's why trash TV is so addictive, I guess, because there's people that you want to, like, are you a real person? Are you a robot? Are you paid to be a, you know, fucking annoying person? I don't know. You have to watch it to understand the hate that I have for Robert.
He does have a punchable face.
He has such a punchable face. Ugh, I hate him. But on this second season, there's this one guy, Ryan, but he goes by Kyle Ryan. He actually, like, he goes rogue. So they're, like, asking him for information because they're all supposed to be gathering information about this jail and, like, what they can fix, like, the people who run the jail are, like, wondering, why are there drugs in here? Like, what can we do better? And, like, so they're supposed to be in there pretending like inmates so they can gather intel. Well, this guy Ryan just goes fucking rogue, and he's like, I got a code. I'm not narking on anybody. And they're like, wait, we put you in this program. And he's like, yeah, but I live by the code. And so he, like, turns hardcore prison guy now.
Dude, you committed no crimes. Get out of there, you crazy person.
I know. He's the crazy guy on the season two. Yeah. So that's what I've been up to.
Wow. Okay. That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting, but that's interesting, Mo.
Yeah, that and a lot of Nat Geo stuff about draining the oceans and shit.
Oh, cool.
I love Nat Geo.
Nat Geo is great.
Yeah, we got the Disney app, so they have Nat Geo.
All right. See, we have Curiosity Stream.
Nice.
Yeah. It's really cheap, by the way. It's only like $20 a month. I mean, it's only like $20 a year.
Oh, what? Oh, I was about to say, I was like, that's way more expensive than Disney.
No, it's like $20 a year.
Okay. All right.
Or something like that. It's really cheap. I highly recommend it. Not sponsored, but we
Curiosity?
Should be.
Curiosity? Yeah.
Curiosity stream.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sponsored yet.
Yet. Yes, yet. Key word there. So I guess we'll, what have I been doing?
Yeah, what have you been doing? What have you been up to?
Okay, I'm playing Fallout 76 as per usual. I probably do that every day, to be honest. Because I'm grinding that shit out, yo.
Nice.
I just finished this season. Like, it's like a game board, right?
Yeah.
I just made my way. I just moved my theoretical token all the way around the board and made it to the end. So, that's cool. I got all those fun awards by completing tasks and daily things. What?
So, you said you're playing Fallout 76?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, did Bethesda do that one? Or was yes. that just Fallout 4?
It's Bethesda.
Okay, I thought it was Bethesda.
Bethesda's had Fallout since Fallout 3.
Okay, because I remember they did Fallout 4, but I wasn't sure if they continued.
Yeah, they've had it for a while now. Yeah, ever since Fallout 3.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad at Bethesda right now.
What have they done this time?
So it's nothing that is like public. It's just my opinion. So they released. Okay, I've been waiting on fucking Elder Scrolls for how many years now? 10? 11? It's almost 11.
You're having the same conversation that Mark and I have weekly.
Yeah. What the fuck? They just released an anniversary edition. Not anything else.
Stop releasing new versions of Skyrim and give us fucking Elder Scrolls 6 for the love of God.
Yeah, I'm so fucking mad. I'm so mad.
Be another 3 years before that comes out.
I'm so
I know. Mad. I know. I also want GTA 6. Rockstar Games.
Yeah, Rockstar. We're picking
been
on you now.
A long time on that one, too.
Yeah.
Just saying. But yeah. I have Fallout 76 to keep me warm until then. and it's, you know, it's like an MMO, kind of. So, I mean, it is a multiplayer online game, so it forever keeps me doing things. So that's nice. I also have been rewatching The Americans. Did you ever watch that show?
Is that the spy show?
Yes. It's the show about two Russian S agents, S operatives, during the Cold War 80s.
Yeah,
it stars Keri Russell and Matthew Rhys, and it's great. And I had only watched the first 3 seasons originally, and it's been a couple years since I finished watching those 3. And there's 3 more seasons, so I thought to myself, I should re-watch the first 3 and then watch the next 3. So that's what I've been doing. I just got to season 4.
Nice. Is it good?
Yeah, it's great. I enjoy the whole Cold War atmosphere, and I love a Russian accent, as you all know. Yes. Yes, comrade. But yeah, I love Keri Russell, so.
Yeah, she's a pretty good actress.
She's a pretty good actress. I loved Felicity. Did you ever watch Felicity?
Yeah, I did.
I loved Felicity. I've loved her for a long time. I remember watching her on the new Mickey Mouse Club in the early 90s.
Wow. I don't.
I also remember Britney Spears being on there and Christina Aguilera.
Was she in Full House?
Who?
Keri Russell.
I don't. Maybe? I don't know.
She was in The Waitress, though. Did you ever see The Waitress?
The Waitress. I love The Waitress. That's such a good movie. It's got Andy Griffith in it.
Yeah, I love The Waitress. One time, Megan and I were watching it back in college, and we had to pause it. And it's the scene where he's slamming her head in the car, and they're both screaming.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the most intense scene we could have paused it on, and he looks like he really hits her in the face.
Yeah, it's really intense.
I actually got reminded on, like, Facebook, like, hey, here's a memory, and it was him, like, hitting her in the head. So I took a picture of it.
Wow. what did you ask me if she was in?
Full House?
No. She was in an episode of Boy Meets World. She was in an episode of Seventh Heaven.
Oh.
And two episodes of Scrubs.
I think I remember her in Scrubs.
Yeah, I definitely do. She was Melody.
Oh.
Mark's favorite show is Scrubs. I've watched it too many times now.
He
quotes
love
it
Scrubs.
All the time.
That's amazing. Andrew has a yearly Let's Watch Scrubs. It's coming up. It's when summer turns to fall.
I can't wait for them to meet each other because they're going to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
They like the same music and a lot of the same entertainment.
They will meet one day. They'll either be, like, really good friends, or they'll be, like, the worst enemies.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's the former.
Like, fight to the death for the better partner. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm hoping that our significant others do not fight to the death.
They have an extreme thumb war.
That would be great.
Yeah, be like, fight. And put their thumbs together.
I would laugh a lot at that. Okay, guys, so we're going to wrap it up. So next week, and it will literally be next week, we will be releasing a new episode. I will tell you the movie, but our guest is a surprise. But it's a really cool surprise, we think, anyway. So we're going to be doing Snowtown.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's one that's been on my list for a long time, and Morgan wouldn't let me do it a couple of months ago because she said it was too close to other Australian things. Look, I have a great love of Australian true crime.
You really do.
They have some really bananas cases, in my opinion. Yeah. I also love Asian true crime, if that hasn't also been apparent.
Yeah, that's very apparent, because I like it too. So.
Yeah. You know, guys, we are not
in cannibals.
Yeah. Oh, this is like the fourth movie that has had cannibals in it. I am not. That is not lost on me.
It's definitely more than that. I mean, if you count both Jeffrey Dahmer movies, it's more than four.
Both Jeffrey Dahmers. There's A Secret in My Soup. The guy who ate the penis, Grimlove.
Yeah. The cannibal Rottenberg.
Yeah, this movie. That's five. Those are the only five that come to mind at the moment. Was there other cannibalism?
There's one more, right?
God, why have we talked about so many cannibals?
We should just change our name to
The Cannibal
Horror Cast. Versus Cannibal Reality.
then we just do a mini series, and it's just all the cannibal movies from the 70s. Starting with Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh my god, we should do that.
I mean, Patreon, guys. Watch this space.
Yes.
Okay, but yeah, we're going to do Snowtown. I'm excited about it. Morgan's excited about it. And I don't know what we're going to do in September yet, but we're still working out things with our other guests who haven't picked movies yet. You
not
know who
pointing
you are.
Fingers. You know who you are.
You know who you are. We'd like you to reply soon. Love you. Okay. Yeah. We're gonna go, guys. It's been great. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.